if we all would get a real glimpse of God and what He wants to do in this church, it would be mind blowing. I mean, God's got us, our heart for this building over here. That building is not just for people. It's for a ministry that God's going to do something big. And with the amount of teachers we have, we're going to need some more teachers. We're going to need some more people to step up. And and most people here tonight are the older folk in our church. Do y'all realize that? On Wednesday nights, it's usually the older families of the church that come. And I understand a lot of young people have things that are going on, and they got busy lives, and they're doing all this, and maybe they're working or whatever. And that's fine. I'm not bashing anybody for not coming. There's times I have to work with my company, and I can't be here on Wednesday nights. But just if we can have some people to step up and step out and let God lead us. If God would lead us, this church, I mean, we have an awesome song leader. We have an awesome pastor. And I thank God for it. I mean, I'm going to be in the book of Psalm 71. And I kind of titled this. I normally don't really title too much on them, but because I don't know where I'm going to go with some of them sometimes. But is there hope for this generation? Is there hope for this generation? These kids that are coming up today, is there any hope that they're really going to follow and walk with God? Before I read the scripture, if you want to know something about statistics, about 75 to 80% of all young people, when they graduate high school and they head off to college, drop out of church. 75 to 80% of all young people that are in churches today usually will drop out of church somewhere in college. And that's a shame. But there is about 30 to 35% of them do eventually come back. But why are they leaving in droves? Why do they not want this? What is it that's chasing them away? Are we just graduating them out of the teen group, and then now you're in career in college and we don't have nothing for you? So now you just come sit in church with all the rest of us and don't have nothing for you. No, we should be training them to be leaders. We should be training them. We should have a person to step up and teach them how to be a young man, how to be a young lady. They need to learn it younger than that. But if they don't learn it to college, that's fine. But we need somebody that's going to teach them how to work their finances. A lot of us are so strained in our lives, in our marriages, in our families, that we have no, and I'm preaching on a testimony. And we don't have testimonies. We can't stand and tell God anything because we're so broken and we're so messed up. But for reading in chapter 71 of Psalms, the Word of God in verse 15 through 18, it says, "My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the number thereof." Meaning, I don't know how long I got left. You don't know how long you have left either. "I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not. Until I have showed thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to everyone that is to come." When I was reading this, I thought, you know, because I think a lot about people's testimonies. I'm telling you, it's very important to share your testimony. Very important. You don't know, you know God puts it on your heart to share your testimony. You don't know who it's going to touch and what it's going to mean to them. When the young lady is saying, I don't know your name, I'm sorry, but when you sang, you gave a testimony a few months ago about the girl crying in the bathroom. I still remember. I haven't forgot. That was a testimony of what God did to that girl lost without God, no hope. And then she shared Jesus with them. We need to hear testimonies in this church. Our young people need to hear your testimony. We need to share testimonies because you don't know when one person might be broken. They're thinking, you know what, all hope's gone and I'm going to quit. This is my last service in church. you know, God's just not showing himself to me. You know, my marriage is failing. My finances are failing. My kids are rebellious and everything's going down. And then next you know, one of the ladies over here stands up and says, you know what? I just want to thank God. You know what? If about 10 years ago, my marriage was failing. My finances were down and my kids were living out in the world. And I thought all hope was gone. But then God showed up and saved my marriage. And God saved my finances. And now, 2 years ago, my kids came back home. And now they walk with Jesus and they love Jesus and they're working in the ministry. And giving that encouraging word, a testimony of what God's done in your life affected her. She was thinking, you know what, all hope's gone. I'm leaving the service. Maybe I'm going to commit suicide when I get home. But someone being faithful, giving a testimony, reached her heart. And now she can say, you know what, maybe there is hope for me too. And then she reaches out to Jesus, said, Jesus, can you do the same for me? And Jesus says, you know I can. And God helps her. And see, a lot of times our churches are failing because we don't give her testimonies. And this talks about the older people. And it talks about when I am old and gray-headed. You know what, guys? I need to hear y'all's testimony. I do. And I'm not saying you have to come and stand up in a church in front of people. I know that might not be some people's comfort zone. It's hard to stand in front of people. And it is. It's a scary place to be up here because you're standing before God and you're standing before people. And that's a scary thing. But maybe that's not what you have to do. Maybe you should go to individuals and say, hey, you know what? God put it on my heart to tell you my testimony. And you just tell someone about when you got saved or something God did in your life, how God changed your life and how God helped you. Because God, if he puts it on you, he put it on you for a purpose. And a lot of times I thought about, you know, the calling to preach. You know, God calling somebody to preach. And a lot of times, you know, I said I wasn't qualified. I didn't go to college. I didn't get no seminary teaching and anything like that. And I remember an old lady one time in church, she said, I wrote it down. Let me see if I can make sure I quote it right. God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. Do you get that? You say, I'm not qualified. I'm not good enough. I'm not a good enough wife. I'm not a good enough mother. I'm not a good enough dad. I'm not a good enough husband to stand up and testify of God's goodness. You know what? If you obey God, he will qualify you and make you good enough. Because sometimes I don't need to hear your happy story where, hey, my family's blessed. We went to Walt Disney World. Man, I took my kids to the ocean this year. And we see, because when you look at families on Facebook, I don't see anybody's sorrows. And that's how we act in church. We're Facebook Christians. We come in here and we show our facade of how great life is. And life is great. But there's some sorrow in our lives. There's some brokenness in our lives. There's some broken pieces in our marriages that we need to fix. There's some broken pieces in our finances that we need to fix. And until we turn our hearts toward God, this generation is lost. The generation is watching us. Kids watch you. My kids, they watch everything I do, and they see what I do. And Emily, my oldest daughter, if I jump off a bridge, Emily is jumping. Even if I ain't got a parachute, she is jumping. If I'm a type of person that when someone gets under my skin, I tell you what I thought about it, and I tell you out loud. Emily does too. But Mama, no. Mama says, you know, I forgive them. I'll just pray for them. I'll just love them, and I'm just going to let it go. I'm like, let it go, nothing. Put a knot on their head. And that's why God put us together, because we're total opposites. I mean, she fixes me where I'm broken. And then there's places where she's broken, and I fix her. And that's what testimonies do in our church, people. You know, I remember when Kevin had us stand up here and different people give their testimonies. I've seen lives change. You've seen people saved throughout that month of June, I guess it was. You saw people saved because they heard somebody's testimony of hope, and it drew them to Jesus. And are you hindering somebody in this generation coming up or any of the generations behind you? Are you hindering any of them from knowing Christ because you're too afraid to stand and say how much I love Jesus? And it doesn't matter if you just say, you know what? I'm 94, 93 years old. And I think you are 94, sir. Yes? 93. Well, you're almost there. So This is the guy that almost took out my grapevine at my house. That's all I wanted to know when they told me he wrecked in my yard. I said, did he hit my grapevine? No. But you know, we're glad he's okay. But you know what? God has you here for a reason. You're the oldest gentleman in our church. You've got lots of stories that you could tell us about God's goodness, don't you? Sure. And we need to hear them. We do. I'm telling you, I've been in church services in the past where we were just expecting just a preacher to preach, a young preacher was going to preach, and the main preacher was going to speak, and we had a service, and next you know, no one preached. Some lady stood up and started crying and confessing and talking about how much Jesus is so good to her and that she's broken, and she everything that she needed fixed was not going to be fixed. It was over. Her child had died. God wasn't bringing her back. This wasn't a Lazarus story. The baby was dead. She wept. She said, but I want y'all to know that I still love Jesus and Jesus still loves me. And when she did, another lady stood up crying, telling how much she loved Jesus. Then a young man stood up, told how much he loved Jesus and what Jesus did in his life. Next you know, we stayed there for the next hour and a half to 2 hours, people telling what Jesus did. There was no preaching. God used each person in different places to move, to hit everybody. Everybody was moved. I don't believe there was a tear or dry eye in that church that night. I'd love to see that in this church. It's hard to show our emotions in front of people. It is. You don't want people to see your weakness, especially if you're a man. Men don't want to see nobody see us cry. But I tell you what, there's many times I cry. I cry when we watch Hallmark movies. I bawl like a baby. I cry like a girl. I do. I squall, and everybody looks at me like, what is your problem? I said, I am a sissy. That's just the way it is. But I tell you, I'm not afraid to cry, because a tender heart will fix a lot in your life. We hide so much in our lives, and we miss God because we're not wanting to be tender enough. And I was thinking about songs and thinking about testimonies, telling your story, because this generation is failing. This generation is gone if we don't wake up as a church. See, we worship God in our singing and raising our hands. We're worshiping God. And then we hear preaching, and the pastor proclaims the word of God. But the problem is, we don't give God any glory. When someone stands up and testifies, that's giving God glory. When you're saying how good God is, when you're talking about God and giving him praise in that way, you're glorifying the name of the Son of God, Jesus. And that's where it's at in our church. That's where it's at. I mean, we look here and there's a small congregation. Hey, my wife actually showed up. I didn't think she was going to show up. I thought she was going to boycott the service tonight. She showed up. So, but I tell you, there's songs that were written years ago. These songs that are in this red book and different books we have, they're stories of people's lives. They've been through something. I read the story of the song. Has anybody ever heard this song? I doubt y'all have heard this song. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Now, this story started in I believe this is a Welsh revival back in the 17th or 18th century. And this long time ago, this thing happened. This missionary left that revival, went to a part of the country, I guess India or somewhere, I can't remember where, but went there and met these tribal people. They were headhunters. They were savages, bad people. He witnessed to a family, and he kept witnessing to them, kept coming and witnessing to this family as much as he could without him being killed himself. And one day, the father and mother got saved, and they decided they were going to give everything to Jesus and surrender their whole life to Jesus. And one day, the tribal people got tired of all this Jesus talk. They didn't believe in God. They believed in a sun god or something. They believed in something different. And they took the man and his family, his wife, and his two little boys. He had one, I think it was about three or so, and the other one was maybe six. And he took them. And I remember the story said that the chief told the father, said, look, you need to recant your God and follow our ways, or we will kill your kids, your boys. And he loved his boys dearly. And this boy's standing there screaming, Daddy, no. Don't let them kill us, Daddy. Don't let them kill us. And they pull back the bows, and he said, the first line of that song, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. And the arrows let loose and killed his two little boys. And the story went on to say that the boys didn't die instantly. They laid there wailing and hurting and bleeding out and dying and then passing away. They said, the chief said, recant your God or I'm killing your wife that you love. He took a deep sigh and said, I have decided to follow Jesus. And he kept rehearsing different parts of this song and different verses of it. I don't know the song verbatim myself, but different lines of the song. And he would go different ones. No turning back, no turning back. And he kept on. And it came down to his life, and he said, I'll follow Jesus. I will follow Jesus. No turning back. And he kept singing the song. And it wasn't even a song yet. And then the next thing you know, the tribal chief thought, why would this man give up his wife and kids is mind-boggling for this God of his. He said, but what tore him up the most is what kind of man would give up his own life for a God if it doesn't exist? Why would you give your life for a God that doesn't exist? And so he started thinking, maybe his God is real. And eventually he learned to trust in Jesus Christ, and that chief became saved. And his bride became saved. A lot of the tribe became saved. The tribe split, and the rest of the tribe trusted in Jesus, and the rest went off somewhere else. All because one man said, I'm going with God. I'm going with God. That's why we have that song today. That's why we have that song, I have decided to follow Jesus. Because somebody took it to the grave. Are we willing to take it to the grave? And that's one thing I'm fearing. I fear that I'm taking my testimony to the grave. God help me if I do. I give my testimony, and it's not a bragging money whatsoever, trust me. But I have given my testimony at least 20 to 30 times a year. And you guys have heard my testimony. And God has, and I didn't live a wild, vile, wicked life. And my testimony is for that person that God's trying to show them Christ through the way he showed me. I've heard stories of people, I've heard a story of different people that have committed murders and rapes and all kinds of crimes, and then they get saved later on in prison, and they got a life sentence of never getting out. And I've heard of them getting saved. And you say, but all the wrong they did. But now their testimony tells other people that no matter how far you've gone, God can still help you. And God can still bring you back. A lot of us are failing because we don't share it. Do you kids know your testimony? I'm going to tell you one thing. I don't know my dad's testimony. My dad's a preacher. I don't know my dad's testimony. I don't know if he'll hear this message or not. But I want to hear my dad's testimony before he dies. My dad's not doing good health-wise. But I've never, ever have heard my dad's testimony about how he met Jesus. I've asked him before. I said, Dad, I've never heard your testimony about when you get saved. He goes, oh, I'm saved. I'm saved. And that's not a bash on him. He was a hard man at times. But God's tenderized him lately, and he's been more tender and compassionate. I'm hoping maybe one day he'll share his testimony with me. Just tell me when you got saved. Have you people that have young kids in your home or teenagers or even young adults, have you ever told them your salvation story? Do they know when you met Jesus? Do they know it? Your kids should be able to tell you your story. Mine can. My kids have heard my testimony a lot. And not because I've said it in church a lot. It's because I've told them. I've talked to them about it. Because I love what God did in my life. How I preached for 7 years, was lost, standing behind a pulpit, was not saved. And Jesus reached into my heart and showed me, and then I got saved. God's awesome. He's an awesome God. This generation, we're losing it because we're not telling it. If you hold on to your story and you take it to the grave, how many people would have been touched by your testimony if you would have shared it? If you just would have shared it. Just tell somebody. And I've told my testimony many times to customers that I work for, doing their houses, painting and stuff. And I've never once went to somebody just, hey, let me tell you my testimony. No. I told God, if you want me to tell my testimony, you put it on me, and I'll tell it. And every time he's told me to tell my testimony, I was looking for an opportunity. I was thinking, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to start it. I don't know what to say. And a lady one time offered me wine. I said, I don't drink. She goes, oh, you don't drink on the job? I said, no, I've never drank in my life. I said, I've never tasted alcohol or anything. I said, and she goes, why not? I said, well, I'm a Christian. She goes, well, I'm a Christian too. And I said, oh, I don't drink. And she offered it again. I said, no, I'm good. And I said, you know, God saved me after 7 years of preaching. And if I can go 44 years without, or back then it was 43 years. If I can go 43 years without drinking, then I can go the rest of my life without it. And she goes, Holda, you said you preached for 7 years before you ever got saved? I said, yes, ma'am. And she goes, well, how did that happen? And I said, well, you want me to tell you about it? And she goes, yeah, tell me about it. I stood there for the next 25 minutes telling her my testimony from when I was 7 years old till I was 31 when I received Christ in my heart. And that lady, before I left her house, she's a Catholic lady, had tears in her eyes. She said, Kevin, I have never heard such a story. Never. She said, do you believe what you just told me? I said, I don't just believe it. I know it to be fact. She goes, well, you got me thinking about a whole lot. And she goes, thank you. I don't know if she ever got saved. I don't know. But what if I stand in heaven one day? And she's standing right there. Says, Kevin, I'm here because of you. This young painter boy painted my house, and I'm saved because of your testimony. Wow. What a joy. What a crown to lay at Jesus' feet and to bless the name of God. Are we missing it? Would you be missing it if that young lady that you spoke to, what if you didn't speak to her? What if you did like everybody else, just turned a blind eye, let her cry? That's her problem. That's her mess. Not going to get in that. See, the Bible talks about us as a clay. God molds us and makes us. Some of us have gotten so hardened and got some cracks and some chips in our lives. Our lives are just a mess. You pour anything in your life as a Christian, it just pours out the sides. It's just a mess. Maybe you need to come before Jesus and give it to him. Let him, you know what he will do, the potter will do? He'll take that old clay and he'll crush it and he'll grind it down. And he'll take the water, which is the type of the water of the word, and he'll saturate it and let it sit over some time and let it saturate. And then he'll mold it back into a pliable clay. Then he'll form it to something so beautiful that the world will have no choice but to believe. But a lot of us are like, you know, I'm too broken. I'm too messed up. I've gone too long. I've gone too far. But you know, there's still hope. There's still hope. Let's don't quit on God. Let's fight for this generation, church. Let's fight for them because our kids need Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I do.